listening to RMD Studios.
Welcome back to the Community Podcast. I'm Gene Roncone, your host and the superintendent of the Rocky Mountain Ministry Network. Today, I want to make a personal investment into your ministry development. You know, if you are serious about personal development and ministry advancement, you're going to have some questions about how do you go through each level of certified, licensed, and ordained in your own credential. And to help you know what to expect and to set you up for a win, we want to give you some practical coaching today. And to do that, we've asked a very special person, Beth Backus, to help us. And we're going to focus in this episode on ordination. Now, Beth has a lot of experience in this area. She is the pastoral care director and the credential director for the Northwest Ministry Network. She's been with us in previous podcasts. Beth, thanks for joining us again.
Absolutely, Gene. It's good to be with you and looking forward to the conversation.
All right. So today we're going to be talking about the preparation needed for someone wanting to advance from licensed to ordained, which ordained is the highest level of credential. You've got some good news to start out this podcast with, so go ahead and give it to us, girl.
Well, here's the good news. There is no exam required for the ordination level, just the interview. The only time an exam might be required is if you're transferring your ordination from another organization or a sister denomination, but the interview will be set up with your network office. So that's the good news.
And we've got some good news to add to that. When you become ordained in the Rocky Mountain Ministry Network, you immediately qualify for what we call the Trinity Ordination Scholarship. You get 50% off of a master's degree program or a PhD program through Trinity Bible College and Graduate School. It is an amazing discount, but it is only available to those who are ordained. So you're going to be able to jump on that train, and we want to reward you for your faithfulness and your diligence and your commitment to being a growing leader. Well, Beth, there is an interview that you said is involved for ordination. Now, in the Rocky Mountain Ministry Network, the Executive Presbytery conducts every one of these interviews because they want to talk with those who are reaching this highest level. They want to see trends. They want to see the good things that God is doing on the big picture. But help us out. How do we prepare for that interview? And what kind of questions should an ordination candidate be expected to answer?
Sure. So each interview is unique and really designed for the person seeking ordination. If applicable, your spouse will be invited to join you, and we really do encourage you, if you are married, to bring your spouse to the interview. But generally, you should expect a few questions that might cover your calling, your personal life, and ministry. We love to hear those stories just about your personal shared ministry experience. Also, general counsel and your district or network council bylaws, be familiar with those as you normally would be after being credentialed for a few years. If you have any questions about theology, doctrine, or tenets of faith, be ready to address those. And really be prepared to give your specific reasons for seeking ordination. And let me just give you a little tip. If you're struggling with that, consider that it's a biblical precedent in the book of Acts that they laid hands on those called and released them into ministry. And also just share your own situation. The purpose of waiting 2 years for ordination is based on 1 Thessalonians 5:12, to know those who labor among you. So simply be ready to share the details of your personal ministry journey, including obstacles, challenge you may have navigated over the last few years as a minister, and the ministry dreams you have for the future.
That's good stuff to remember. And in addition to the coaching that Beth gave, There are some folks that they just want to be prepared for a meeting. So we have prepared a master list of potential questions, emphasis on the word potential, that may be asked of you in this interview. So remember, every interview is different, and every question on that list is not going to be asked. However, it will give you an idea of the type of things that the executive presbytery is going to be looking to ask you about. Now, a link to that PDF resource is found on our network's website under the credential page. There is an icon there that says Progression, Building a Better You. Click that, and that's where you'll find it. Now, Beth, in our instance, our executive presbytery really enjoys this time to sit down with the candidate, ordination candidate, their spouse and them, and talk about the call of God and pray over them. I mean, that's some of the most fulfilling times of those times of prayer for each other. But that could be a little intimidating. So what are five things every ordination candidate can do to prepare to have success in this interview?
Well, great question. Here's the top five. Number one, just be prepared to share what ministry areas you have been involved with since your previous credential interview. What have you been doing? Where have you been leading in ministry? Have you been leading in the local church, missions? We want to know. Number two, what disciplines or practices have helped you grow in your faith over the years? Number three, what's been your involvement with your network? Do you attend your area meetings? Have you been involved in any other network events? Number four, share your personal leadership development plan. What books, conferences, or ongoing education have really strengthened you as a minister? Those are critical pieces that you'll want to share in your interview. And lastly, just be ready to share how you stay healthy, physically, emotionally, relationally, spiritually. You know, ministerial health is vital to leading a thriving ministry. And we would love to hear about areas that you stay healthy.
That's good advice. Because after all, at this stage, Beth, these folks have been in ministry now. So they are going to have already been in the thick of some difficult seasons, some great seasons. And this is where we kind of examine the big picture of your ministry. And you've really given us some good advice there. Beth, you've seen a lot of ordination interviews, I imagine, in your experience and in the over decade that you've been working there. What are the most common mistakes that candidates make in the ordination interview?
Well, here's a few. Try to share your story clearly and concisely. So, for example, don't share all of the minute details, but just focus on the major components. I've heard ministers go into a 15-minute answer to one question. Try to keep it short and concise within a few 5 minutes or so. Number two, sometimes we see ministers just give too much information. If it's not relevant, there's really no need to share and go back to some high school issues you may have had or things like that. Just keep it focused and relevant. And number three, I've seen people just allow themselves to get too nervous for a conversation of this nature. Relax. Remember that these leaders are for you. They want to support you. They want to see you succeed. No one is going to try to trip you up with a trick question or make you feel bad about a past ministry mistake or failure. We are all in process. So just relax. These are your colleagues. These are your friends. So don't let your nerves get the best of you.
That's great advice. This is not the Shark Tank, is
That's
it?
Right.
I mean, these are people that have walked the walk you've been through. They want you to succeed. I've seen some powerfully encouraging moments, Beth, in these interviews, especially the prayer times that end, and times I've even seen some of our more senior ministers in that meeting speak prophetically over people's life and their ministry and their marriages. It's a wonderful time. So walk into it expecting God to do something. No one's looking to catch you in the wrong answer.
That's
so
right.
You've given us some great advice there. So let's talk about outcomes, because there's not a test unless you're transferring in, as you said. But what are the outcomes? What are the different outcomes that someone could expect from an ordination interview?
Sure. Well, typically after your interview, you'll be contacted in writing within a few weeks by one of your district secretary, someone in the office, and they will inform you of the interview committee's decision. And it's typically one of two things. Number one, you're simply recommended by the network to the General Council for ordination. And upon their approval, you'll be scheduled to participate in the ordination service at your network council. And that experience is really a formal acknowledgement. It's a public celebration of your ordination. So you want to make sure you mark your calendar and plan to be there. Or number two could be an option. Number two is maybe there's a recommendation that you wait. Maybe they're asking you to wait and obtain further preparation. Maybe it's further education, maybe experience in a specific area. Maybe there's something on your credit or background report that needs to be addressed. So on occasion, you might be asked to address one of those and come back for another interview. But it's typically one of those two.
That's good advice. So let's talk about when you're transferring ordination from one organization to another. Up until now, we have talked kind of about, you know, you've come up through the system in the Assemblies of God. And let's use Foursquare as an example. And the reason I want to use Foursquare is their doctrine is nearly identical to ours, although their governance is very different. Say I'm presently ordained with the Foursquare, and I want to seek ordination with the Assemblies of God. What exams would I be expected to have to take?
Well, great question. And I appreciate you saying every situation is a little bit different. But for the sake of simplicity, a person who is ordained with the Foursquare, as you mentioned, and they're seeking ordination with the Assemblies of God, would need to do three things. Number one, they would need to provide proof of ordination and a letter of good standing. Pretty simple to do. Number two, they would need to take these two courses. Number one, the Assemblies of God History, Missions, and Governance course. And the second one is the Spirit-Empowered Church. Every minister who is coming from a non-AG background needs to take those two courses. And number three, simply take those three exams that we've been discussing, the Bible knowledge, the doctrine, and the polity.
I would imagine that the proctoring and the online format is pretty much the same, but describe how that would look for someone transferring in from another organization.
Sure. Well, for the online exam, we've really been proctoring them through Zoom. So we would set up a Zoom meeting, invite you to it on the test date. We would log into the meeting and go over some instructions. And while you're in that meeting, you would just open up the online exam from the invitation that was emailed to you. We ask applicants to keep their videos on to protect the integrity of the exam and keep their mics off to avoid distraction. And for online exams, applicants really do need reliable internet and use a computer or desktop or laptop. They can use a tablet if they want to join via Zoom through their smartphone, but you can't use a tablet to be on Zoom and take the test at the same time. You do really need a separate desktop or laptop to do that.
Well, Beth, I want to thank you. You've been a huge help on this three-part series. You know, so many folks don't have this kind of coaching. And I was thinking about my kids when they were younger, where they'd go off to football camp or baseball camp. And you've provided Camp Beth for us. So, man, thank you for that. You've been a huge blessing.
Well, you're very welcome. I was glad to share and hopefully prepare everyone for success.
So, Beth, can you do us a favor, and can you just pray a prayer of blessing over those who are listening and will be taking this next step in ordination?
Absolutely. Let's pray. God, we thank you for each and every one of these ministers who have simply said yes to following where you lead. Ministry can be one of the most challenging and joyful journeys we can take. And I'm so grateful that you still call people into this great adventure. God, let us rest in the promise that you will build your church and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. And our job is to simply follow where you lead. So give us the power, as you did on the day of Pentecost, to bring your word to those who so desperately need it. This is one of the most difficult and exciting days to be a part of bringing the hope of Jesus to the world. So Jesus, we thank you for entrusting us with this task. And we look forward to seeing you move in our lives, in our communities, and around the world. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
And thank you to those who are listening. If you have any other questions about the credentialing process, listen, we've created a super simple online experience for you that you can go through each step, find all the resources you need, and that is at rmdc.org/credentials. That's rmdc.org/credentials. Now, before we sign off, I want to take a moment to encourage you to continue to advance your credential. If you are licensed and you're listening to me right now, you've got to take the next level. You need to allow God to invest in you. And here's what's going to happen. You are going to become a learning leader. You're going to advance your credential. You're going to increase your capacity in ministry. You're going to increase your credibility. You're going to increase your availability for ministry. You are going to be of greater value to the kingdom. So remember, the kingdom needs you and you need the kingdom. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk more in the next episode.